worship, and I magnify your name. I lift my hands in honor and glory to the King. Hallelujah and blessings and praises now I bring. My heart no longer your blessings can contain, so I worship and magnify your name.
Let him bless our lives. Appreciate the spirit, the moving of the Spirit of God here today, where we can can come before him. Jesus is available that we can come before him. He's made it. When he came, he opened up a way that we can come to God and bring our knees before him. And I'm thankful today that that is available to us. And we try to operate in this church where if there is a need, you know, in your life that you can, even while a minister's up talking, you know, you can, if you don't want to disturb him, write a note to him. And if the need is that great in your life, you know, that we can petition the Lord. And I like that. I think to make it known, you know, that God is interested in our situations and our needs. And he can help. Something only God can help. You know, I might be able to buy you a meal or maybe fix it if I'm skilled enough in that area to fix your meal. But something I can't do for you. But God can, and only God can. But that's why we try to make it available. Let it be known. You know, let bring it up that you know we can come before God. And I appreciate about this church that the Bible says you entertain angels, strangers, and that you may entertain angels unaware. You may think you're just entertaining a stranger out there, but you're entertaining angels. So I think we're to open up things to where God can work. And this is a work of God, and I appreciate that, you know, because sometimes you don't understand this work. We don't always understand what God is doing. That's why we like to at least make it open where God can work. You know, you don't want to have it cut and dry where we just do it this way and in our mind, you know, this is the way we're going to do it, but we want to, we're out here working, you know, present yourself before the Lord, you know, our songs and things that we do, we try to, we're presenting this to the Lord and seeing if God in some way, you know, God, what we're presenting, you know, like the children of Israel, they offered things to the Lord. You can even go back as far as Cain and Abel. You know, they made offerings, you know, but you can see the one that made the right kind of offering, you know. But you have to just find that out. What does God like? What is right? What kind of offering does God require that I offer to him? I don't know if those questions were asked between Cain and Abel, but Abel did it right. I don't know if he asked that question or if Cain even inquired. You know, what does God like? You know, I don't know if he inquired. I don't remember reading. But anyway, we're trying to find out what God like. You know, we want to try to present ourselves to God and give to God, you know, what he like. I remember being on Brother Tucker used to talk about going fishing, you know. And you can take things with you that fish don't like. You know, I might like it. You know, strawberries, for instance, you know. You don't go fishing with strawberries, you know. Fish don't like them. So anyway, so we have to find out what God like. And that's why we even come to a church like this, a service like this, to be open before the Lord, to find out what he likes and what he will bless. You know, because, you know what, you know, God blesses certain things. And so sometimes we don't always know. But it's good to be in the house of God. Good to have Brother Smith back from the Dominican Republic and Haiti. And I know you're looking forward to, just can't wait to hear the reports that he's going to get. I can't even. So anyway, let's thank God. And we have company here today. We got Joe Thompson and Yolanda. Yolanda Thompson sitting there with Sister Rochelle. Glad y'all stopped in to be with us today. Sister Elsa's daughter, Sister Brenda. Good to see you. She was up here. Good to have her. She got to look like a touch from the Lord. So, God. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Brother Ron Johnson's back.
Brother Ron Johnson's back. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for your wife, Brother Ron. Hope she's doing okay. And also, you like to, you give us a report. We'd appreciate it, Brother Ron. Give me a microphone.
Well, she's making progress. They did surgery on her, and they at first they thought they got all the cancer out of her leg. She has I can't remember the name of it. It's a sarcoma. But they first told us the surgery would take care of it. Then the biopsy report came back, and they said that she would need 35 radiation treatments. And then they started that, and then they got another report back saying the cancer had actually been more aggressive than they thought. And the margins around the area that removed the cancer, they like to see a 5 centimeter, and hers was only 1 millimeter. So they've started 4 3-week rounds of chemotherapy, and then she'll take the radiation. And although they don't detect any cancer that spread, the cancer had started in her vein, so they fear that some has slipped through her lymph node system microscopically. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're doing the chemo. So she's got a ways to go, but we're trusting that she'll be fine.
Praise the Lord.
She's got a lot of faith, and her attitude's real good. Praise I just Lord. Came home for a couple of weeks to get some stuff done. Her sister's with her. Then I'll be going back to Seattle for several weeks and kind of come back and forth. And but I appreciate your prayers, and I know the All Lord's right. with her. And,
okay. I
feel like she's in a good place for her treatment.
All right. Thank you for that report, Brother Johnson. Appreciate that very much. All right. Sister Demetria, Sister Rochelle's daughter, is here too. So she probably feel like she's not a visitor. But anyway, good to have her. Anybody else? Any more visitors? Yes, Sister Ann. Well, it's okay. Go ahead. Is he still facing the MRI? He goes, okay, all right. Remember Brother Wayne McGow. All right. Remember Sister Angie. Sister Brenda. Yes. Remember Sister Lou Allen today. You pray. You need Sister Rattler. Your family, all right. Remember Sister Rattler's family. Sister Linda. Sister Julie Lace. All right. Remember her and Sister Grandma. Okay. Remember her grandma, Sister Lee. All right, remember that need today? All right. Sister Sherry. Okay. Remember that today, that request. We're going to do all of those. So ushers, get ready. We'll do an offering today as well, and take these needs and pray that God will help each one. I see Sister Wilkins here today. I don't see Sister Rice, so let's remember Sister Rice. Of course, we already said it downstairs, but we'll say it again. Good to see Sister Crow here today. She was sick. Matter of fact, was it Sunday and Wednesday? She don't like to miss a lot of church. So pray for her, and good to see him out today. All right, Brother Ray, and he hadn't been here a while, so remember him, his wife, Susie, and them grandbabies. So anyway, yes, sir.
Joyce is sick today.
Joyce is sick.
She's got a sick headache. She said she got to feel better. She'll come back.
Okay. Sister Joyce Weiniger. Pray for her. She's sick today with a headache. All right. So let's take these requests and make them known to the Lord, and mention these needs, each one of them. So let's stand and take these needs to the Lord. Pray that God will help his people. Oh, hallelujah. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, Lord. Pray that you help
him. He will direct our path.
Help us, Lord, that our hearts reach out to you. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Remember, oh God,
cast all your burdens.
Jesus, each one.
Yes.
Help Brother McGarry.
Blessed be the Lord. Blessed
the Lord.
Every need you hear.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, God. Oh,
each one that is crying out
today. Glory,
Joyce Weiniger being a touch today.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus.
Brother Ethan Boyd.
Yes.
Our God will give him a touch.
Glory.
Brother Ray Weaver.
Jesus.
He and his wife.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. certainly feels good to be back home. I'm really not as well. I rested up pretty good yesterday, but I'm not as tired as I thought I'd be. But the Lord blessed us with a good trip, and we were able to accomplish a lot in the Dominican Republic, and then go to Haiti for 2 days, and I really came back. You know, the trip to Haiti was really, to be honest with you, there's no way to describe it. There's just no way to put it into words, hardly, to help really understand it. I took some pictures and a couple, two or three videos that, I don't know if Brother Painter will be able to have it today, but is it ready now? Be ready. All right, well, we may show it to you to give you a report. We're able to, I know most of you know, we had a meeting scheduled for the Dominican Republic for March. Because of the earthquake, it was early, I think the first week of March, because of the earthquake, we postponed that meeting. They had a general meeting scheduled for Haiti in April the 7th through the 10th. Of course, they can't have a meeting this year. In fact, the building they were going to have the meeting in is going to have to be tore down with the damage. So I decided that we should postpone our meeting. I just couldn't feel good about having a meeting and trying to touch the Spirit of the Lord and get blessed and everything and bless the people with on the same island. We've got people that are suffering in a tragic condition. It just didn't feel right to me, and I thought we need to try to give them more time, try to help them, and put our emphasis there. So I talked to the leading men over there and asked them if it'd be all right if we took those dates that they had for April and postponed our meeting till then, and of course they said yes. So our meeting will be April the 7th, 8th, and 9th. Rather than have it, the 10th is a Saturday, and I felt like it's really a full day trip to fly from here to the Dominican Republic. It's just a full day deal for most people. So I left Friday off Saturday, so that people could fly home on Saturday to be back in their own assemblies of ministers. But I did fix it where we'd have two services every day, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning and 7:30 in the evening. We were able to get motel rooms blocked off to for those that are going, and of course we're working on renting buses and vans. A meeting like that is more of a difficult meeting in a lot of ways than a general meeting here in America, because you have to pick everyone up from the airport and provide transportation for everyone to motels, and then you have to provide transportation to and from the motel for everyone, and all the people that live in the country, almost all of them have no cars, so they have to come by bus from different cities to be there, and then they've got to have a place to stay, and they're poor people, so they cannot afford a motel. So we have to find a way to take care of all the people for the whole meeting. The people in the motels from America are the least trouble because the people, besides keeping them in homes, we have to find little motels that are inexpensive and pay for that. And so it's very costly to put on a meeting like this, but they need it. They need to see the body of Christ is not just their one church. It's not just one place. The Lord blesses these coming togethers, and so we're thankful that we're having an opportunity to host another meeting over there, and bless the people in the Dominican Republic. That work is growing, and I think most of you who have been there would tell the rest of you that you'll be amazed if you go over there and see that there's churches in the Dominican Republic that's just like our churches here at home, except they're probably a little more excited and they're a little bit more jovial about this message because it's new to them. And so I remember when I first went over there and started the work in the Dominican Republic, I used to come home and I'd almost get aggravated at the church in Missouri because I'd think, you know, y'all are dead compared to these people over there that I just came from. I'd have to shift into a new mode when I got home. I'd get over there and get all excited, and I'd come home and it'd be like preaching to four walls. Nobody responded like they did over there. But the Lord had to help me to understand that when they're where you are, they'll be just like you are. When they've gone through all what you've gone through. However, I do think, I have to say, that I think America's somewhat spoiled. And it's hard to get the excitement in people about the gospel anymore as it was once able to be done. So anyway, it was a profitable trip. We was able to get the building that we had rented. The dates moved to the new dates and get all of that accomplished. Brother Painter, you ready? I may let Brother Painter show y'all this, and I'll try to tell you. It's just a few pictures, but I do have a few videos too that might just kind of help you. I've got a video or two of they're just a couple, 2 or 3 minutes long each, and a couple of videos of the service that we had actually the first service in the Dominican Republic, and then just when they're singing and then some pictures there in the Dominican Republic, a few, but most of the pictures are from Haiti. I want to give you a report on Haiti. Go ahead, Brother Painter. I don't know if we can blow that one there up enough for you to see it. Can you go back to it? Maybe we could, yeah, let's dim the lights. I think they'll be able to see it better. Go back to the, can you go back? Yeah. Y'all probably can't really see that first picture very good, can you? Maybe I'll try to get you a better one of it later. It's just a guy in the airport that looked just like Ray Lineger, just a little ways off, and I just had to take his picture. Anyway, that's little Sarah. That's Brother Mark and Sister Sherry's little girl they're adopting. Right here, this is Haiti. This is how they're living over there in tents, makeshift things. This is, if you pause it right here, if you would. This is Brother Lionel Joseph. He has the largest church over in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. that church has about 800 people in it. And Brother Lionel Joseph, how many of y'all remember him? Just raise your hand if you remember him. He's a young man, although he's probably getting close to 50 now. He took the work over of Brother Joseph Desrivier, the blind brother that we always had over in our meetings in America, and Brother Linegar would get him up. They'd always sing Someday, remember? A group of them. And anyway, Brother Lionel lost everything that he owns. And his people, the Brother Joseph Desrivier had bought this place out in Babaku, which is a place out, be north, northeast of Port-au-Prince. And it's out in a rural area, and they bought this to someday build a campground. And they did build a church there, church building, and there's a pastor out there that has some people in that rural area that he pastors in the body under Brother Joseph, Brother Lionel Joseph. Well, Brother Lionel had nowhere to go, and most all the people in his church homes were flattened, lost. I don't know if you can grasp all this in your mind. There was only 17 people in his church that got killed out of about 800. But most all of those people, they lost mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, family members. And every one of those families, just about, they had somebody that was killed. And so he moved to this rural location property that they have. And there is now between 1,200 and 1,500 people living on this piece of property. They're just all of his people, then other people from body churches that lost everything have moved there. And I don't know how he's doing it. It's costing him $600 of Haitian money, which is about $400 American. Their exchange rate runs between 60, 65, and 70% to a dollar. So it's close to $400 a day to feed all these people, two meals a day. Sometimes they aren't able to do it. To buy water. Can you imagine how much water it takes to take care of 1,500 people and bathe them? And they're buying water every day. Trucks of water being trucked in. That's what this tank is here. Every day they truck water in, and then propane to cook with. And so, and they've got two buildings. I'll try to show you. They've got two buildings that are they've just boarded up, kind of makeshift buildings. They've got several hundred women and girls living in one. Several hundred boys and men living in the other. Men cannot be with their husbands. They can't be with their families except just during the day. They can get out and talk. Huh? Wives. What did I say? Anyway, even you know, young married couples that's been married, hadn't been married very long. And I mean, there's needs that you can't imagine. You don't think about it till you get there and see and realize what their situation is. And they don't have beds. I mean, they just do whatever they can do with. They've got some air mattresses. They've got some tarps that they make shelters out of, or some kind of shelter to get in out of the weather and what have you. They're trying to get tents. Right now, that's going to be my big push. Is I'm going to the Ducoin meeting next week, and I'm trying to get some kind of fund started for tents. I've asked Brother Brett. Brother Brett's already went to work on it to try to find these 10 by 20 tents. The reason we're wanting 10 by 20 is they're compartmentalized, where you can put your kids in a little, you know, maybe a 10 by 10 area or an 8 by 8 area inside the tent. They've got tents that they call them 2 or 3 room tents. They're just divided by more tent material, but it's better because, you know, if you've got a husband and a big boy and a big daughter, they can get in another part of the tent to get dressed and, you know, do things that have a little bit of privacy. So that's what, and they're going to need these tents for a long time because they've lost their homes and they can't rebuild. They don't, you know, they've lost jobs. There's many, very few of them are working. I don't know. It's costing Brother Lionel Joseph $12,000 U.S. money every month to take care of that place and those people. I don't know how he's doing it. He told me he don't know how he's doing it either. He said, God's just helping us, you know, but that's what it's costing us on average. Okay, go ahead, Brother Painter. This is just, you can see that boarded up building that was just a roof, but they boarded it up best they could. Of course, it could rain in that top end. And when I heard he was living in a park, I was imagining something like a big, beautiful park that they was living in. Well, there's the park that they're living in. See how they've just put metal around? That's their kitchen. There's generally 20 women or so in there cooking all the time. Just cooking corn, mashed up corn, mash, just mush. And our rice when and beans when they get it, or whatever they can get to feed twice a day. That was at night, and they were working, trying to put up a little shelter, trying to put some kind of a roof over that little shelter there. They were still working at night and had that one light. This is a tent right here that... it's on their property. You might stop it right there for just a second. There's a relief team, a rescue team from America, some doctors and people that were there to work and help in Haiti and treat people. And they asked them if they could put their tent up there. Well, it's got holes in it, but it works still pretty good, and they can get about 500 people under it. Well, they're letting them use it for their services, and they brought all the PA equipment and everything from his church and put it in it, and so when so they use this. This was the first night we was there. Maybe we'll have some better pictures than this. Go ahead to the next picture. That's where they have services, but they're going to lose that tent in 2 weeks because those people are leaving. That's under the tent. It's just a big old tent. There was my tent. Mine, there's five of us. Me and Brother Green, Brother Elias, Brother Alejandro, and Brother Diego slept in that tent while we were there. So I thought, and hot. You know, I laid there and I thought, these poor people, you know, of course they're used to it by now, but I didn't get too much sleep the first night. That's under the tent. The next morning, they have prayer meetings at 5:30 in the morning. I wanted to ask them, why are you having it so early? Because you don't really have that nothing to do all day. All these people are here, but these people are pleading with God for help. They're in need for help. There's their kitchen. Big pots. They've got. They even had some coals, I think, under some of those pots in another end. Anyway, I just walked through there and took a few snapshots. There's some of their mace, corn mace that they. It's kind of a deal that they. Cook to eat. there's where how they live, a lot of them over there, just on, you know, just put tents up. There's another thing you need to realize about this. Brother Joseph told me, he said, there's people here that have houses in town. There's Brother Eddie Jean Charles. He's a pastor over there that calls me. We support him. This church does. He calls me my father. Of course, anybody that'll help them, they'll call them that. There's a little video, just a little video I took with my iPhone of just there's where they live. That bus just came in there. Brother Lionel didn't even know who it was, but it was a group from Cuba and Bolivia, a relief team that came in there to see if they could do anything to help. They were doctors. They wanted to know if we could examine any of you, and any of you need medication. Many of them are wounded and also sick. There's viruses going on. When you got that many people together, if there's anything contagious, they all, you know, they're susceptible to it. Of course, the Lord seems to be really helping them in that area, but there were some very sick people, a few people that we prayed for as very sick. I prayed for this one sister they almost had to carry in there. I said, what's wrong with her? They said, she's got some kind of virus. We don't know what it is. I thought, dear Lord, I hope I don't get that. I said, God help me, you know, protect me. We can't get it. Now, this right here is in the Dominican Republic. That's Brother Green's church. Well, I guess we got sound. Probably aren't able to hook all that up this quick. Huh? Yeah. One of the songs over in Haiti that they was singing was one of Carol Neptune's songs. It was talking about Cheryl Neptune, take us through the storm, hold my hand. This is the Dominican Republic. They act about like this on about any song. Quite a few ministers, young ministers coming up over there. That's Brother Joel playing them drums. I know you can't see him, but he's back there. There he is back there. Like they picked it up, didn't he? Calderon. I didn't remember. I don't even remember hardly taking this video. I'm sorry we couldn't put these together. Brother Painter has done a good job. Well, this is back in Haiti under the tent now. And Brother Joseph right there. This was after the 5:30 prayer meeting that morning. Okay. They were over in the Dominican Republic. In Haiti, the conditions really touched me in seeing the need that was there. And we had sent about $25,000 to $30,000 over there. You know, I had told y'all the Dominicans had taken it over there. Excuse me. But Brother Joseph, you know, they have to spread that money around to all everybody, and he had received $1,000 of that. It was all the help he had received from the body so far. And so you can see how great a need he has. I gave another $1,300 of your money to them while I was there as an offering. I just wish I could have gave them more than that. But anyway, I was just so touched. I just thought, God, we got to do more. We've got to do something to help these people. And I just couldn't leave there without giving them something more. And then I came home and called Brother Brown from Houston, sent an offering with me. And then when I got back and told him their condition, he yesterday morning he FedExed them more. So he was very touched with the situation also. And so they certainly need our prayers, our continual prayers, and they need our continual offerings, because they're in a situation that's going to be an ongoing situation for a while. And you know, there's just not any reason that we can't do more than what we've done. I mean, we can, you know, if every church in the body would just take up a missionary offering once a week, even the smallest churches are to get $25 a week or something. That's $100 a month. If you could get $100 a month from all three, you know, over 300 churches in America, that'd be over $30,000 a month to help those people with. And that wouldn't be anything. That wouldn't be any sacrifice at all for us. And so I just want to encourage you to feel their need. And when we take up missionary offerings, I want you to know I'm going to try to do everything I can to help them do our part. At the same time, we can't it's too great a need for us to do, you know, to make a big difference. But if everyone does a little part, it can make a big difference. And so in the next month, if some of you would just get together and say, well, let's buy a tent. Let's buy a tent and send a tent over there. And Brother Brett's still working on that. These tents are going to cost probably between $250 and $300 a piece for a big 10 by 20 tent. Or that ain't a big tent, but to have a tent that won't leak, you know, that'll withstand the weather, and that's a good enough tent, they'll cost that much. I've already looked them up yesterday. I looked them up on the... I don't know. Have you looked them up, Brother Brett? Am I about right?